Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome in. Latest Behind the Bets podcast. I'm Doug Kazarian. We're taping this on Wednesday, January 9th. A very sad day in that it's the end of the college football season. Got to pour one out for that. Kai, what did you think of the national championship game on Monday night?
Oh, man, I loved it, man. I really got a kick out of watching Clemson turn it up. It was not what everybody expected, of course, which I love even more. And you didn't see me yesterday. I walked around campus all day with a Clemson hat on.
Why is that?
Just to mess with people, man. Either people were just stopping, talking to me about Trevor Lawrence, or they were just giving me evil scowls. Either way, I got a kick out of it.
Because you think we're such SEC bias around here?
No, it wasn't even. I just looked at the hat. I remember I got the hat years ago. I think it was like to match some Air Max I had. I had nothing to do with any Clemson allegiance because I'm a Rutgers fan, of course. But I said, you know what? I'm just going to wear this all day and just see what reaction I get.
That's good. I like that. I like that. Play the.
I should have did it today, but I figured yesterday would have been a lot more effective.
No, look, we'll talk about it with John Murray, Mr. Director, coming up here on the podcast. I think the game was a lot closer than people kind of want to say it was. With that being said, Clemson could name the score on offense. Like Clemson took the foot off the gas, but I feel like the game was much more competitive. Again, we'll talk about it with Mr. Director. And what'd you think of the first round of the NFL playoffs?
Oh, man.
And the Giants did not play, right?
Well, okay, no. The Giants did not play, unfortunately. maybe we'll get Haskins. Who knows? I don't know what's going to go on with that. Anyway, I was very upset to see the Cowboys win because I'm an extreme Cowboy hater. But other than that, it was great. Shout out to the Colts, you know.
Yeah, a lot of wild outcomes
the
this
Eagles,
weekend.
Wow.
Particularly that Dallas game that you mentioned. We'll get into all that. Just mayhem with the 2-point conversion and the Sebastian Janikowski injury. So a lot to get through with Mr. Director as, let's get going here on the podcast.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
Any truth to the speculation, Mr. Director, that you were involved in the Sebastian Janikowski injury just to send a message? Like a voodoo doll kind of thing.
Look what happened. The Seahawks couldn't kick extra points, so they went for two. And how'd that work out?
They converted both of them and covered.
You know, I don't know. The evidence continues to pile up that kicking is not the way to go. Even we can certainly get into it, but even one of the made field goals I saw over the weekend – I thought it was a terrible decision by the coaching staff. We can get into that.
Yeah, like in Baltimore?
Yeah, that would be the Chargers. The Chargers up 3-0. They sent the Badgley out for, I want to say, a 52-yarder into the wind. Now, he made it to go up 6-0, but I thought it was a terrible decision. And then, obviously, Harbaugh, I thought both of his field goal attempts were bad choices by him.
Remarkable. So we have a lot to get into, and I just want to express my condolences with the official end, not that it, I mean, I guess it was already official, but the official end of the Hugh Jackson era in Cleveland now that they are report surfacing that they are going to name Freddie Kitchens the head coach.
Yeah, well, I'm still holding out hope that some other team will hire Hugh Jackson.
Right, there's Cincinnati still alive, right?
Yeah, it doesn't, I mean, as long as somebody hires Hugh Jackson, I'll have some fun with it. And I'd like to talk about some of the new coaching hires, too. The thing I really want to talk about this week is a refusal of a head coaching job from last offseason. I have to think that gentleman is seriously regretting his decision.
Which one is that? I'm a little lost at the...
Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels,
yes, yes.
You know, leaving the Colts. How often does an NFL head coaching job become open with an all-pro quarterback in his prime built into the job?
It's a very good point. And
it just doesn't happen very often. And
not only that, is he, you know, kind of... He wore out his welcome. So not only did he decline it, but how he handled that, that's hurting his prospects in the future. I talked to Mort in the green room the other day, and I believe he reported it too, but I told him to make sure he does that this week, that how McDaniels did that and then how things went in Denver, obviously his first go-around as a head coach, is kind of just reeks of immaturity and all that stuff, and that's hurting his chances, and that's why he had that sort of announcement. Like, I'm not interested, you know, they're not interested in him anymore.
Well, look at that job right now, that Indianapolis job. They've got a franchise quarterback in Andrew Luck who's in the prime of his career. They got all pros in the first and second round of the draft, Nelson and Leonard, the linebacker. They've got the most cap room of any team in the league going into this offseason. It looks like one of the best jobs in the league. I don't know what McDaniels thought he was going to get that's better than that.
I mean, obviously it was probably a little bit of apprehension surrounding the health of Andrew
Luck. That has to be has to be what it is. And I remember when McDaniels turned the job down, we were speculating here, that must mean that Andrew Luck is hurt. So certainly I agree with you. But the other thing, maybe he's got a wink-wink deal with Bob Kraft that he's going to be replacing Bill Belichick as the Patriots head coach. But
yeah.
Either way, I mean, you look at where the Colts franchise is right now, and you look at how quickly a team can turn it around if they have a franchise QB in place. Those guys are so hard to come by. The Redskins haven't had one in 30 years. You know, that's a very difficult thing to come by. And when you get an opportunity like that, you need to take it.
Colts 14-1 right now to win it all. The second longest odds. Cowboys at 16-1. And obviously, I'm assuming it's combined probability given their 7-point dogs this weekend. But that does surprise me a little bit.
Yeah, just they're such a big underdog. You have to think that Philadelphia will go through in the other game, and they'd be a big dog in that game as well. So really, it's
mostly New Orleans.
Just the math.
You mean New Orleans.
Excuse me. New Orleans go through over Philadelphia, pardon me. So you have to think that they'd be a big dog in New Orleans next week, likely be a dog in the Super Bowl as well. So, yeah, they have the longest what appears to be the toughest path to the Super Bowl right now. Although I do expect the Cowboys to get a lot of support this week. I'll tell you who's already getting a lot of support this week, the Colts. The Colts are getting a ton of money, a ton of tickets. Everybody's backing the Colts in that first Saturday game.
In terms of sharps or just recreational guys?
Just the public is. This is very common in the divisional round guys, where the public actually usually backs these dogs that they just saw come off of an impressive win the previous week. Kind of an out of sight, out of mind thing too. The four home teams were all off last week, so we're already seeing a ton of support for both the Colts and the Eagles in the late game Sunday. They're getting a lot of tickets, +8.
Yeah, I had a feeling the Eagles might be a square dog. Someone tweeted me whether or not the bat signal had gone up, and I said Alfred had not sent it yet.
So, not yet. I think really the team that sets up really to be the square dog is actually Indianapolis.
Really?
I think a lot of people are going to talk themselves into Indianapolis in this game. And Kansas City just has such a history of choking in the postseason. Andy Reid has a history of choking in the postseason. They've got what is essentially a rookie quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. I think a lot of people are going to talk themselves into the Colts, and they already are. I can tell you that we've already written a ton of money on the Colts here.
What are we looking at for a ticket count?
Right now, you're talking about 4-1 on the point spread, and
oh my,
about 15-1 on the money line.
4-1 is pretty notable.
It is pretty notable. It's still very early in the week, but I do expect most of the money to come in on Indianapolis there for sure.
And that's usually your cutoff to give it the stamp of approval of the square dog four.
Yeah, 4-1 sounds about right. I mean, the money line is not something you want to read too much into.
No.
Usually the dogs are going to get the support on the money line, and then the favorite's going to get thrown into a lot of money line parlays. It's really more you want to look at that point spread number, and right now it's very one-sided to both the Colts and the Eagles.
Well, we discussed it last week. It was rare to see one home favorite of less than 3, let alone 3. And we got it, and the trends continued. All 3 dogs covered in those situations, all 4 covered for the weekend. And so that just to refresh our memory, wild card round, going back to since 2005, road dogs, less than 3. So basically the odds makers are telling you that there's a reason the home team's not laying the full 3. Or in essence, the road team's not getting the full 3. The road team, the dog, is now 11-1-1.
Although the Ravens did push up to -3 there in a lot of books over the weekend. -3, even
flat,
money,
flat,
I should
say.
Which, I said it last week on the show, I never understood that line. I thought the Chargers should have been favored in that game. That line always never made any sense to me. And I can't understand how the Ravens could be laying a full 3 points in that game.
I thought it was a trick. So I actually threw some boxes of ZD at you with the Ravens. I thought it was one of those, you know, just inexplicable wins, and it just made no sense.
It made no sense to me. I thought the Chargers should have been favored, and I thought the Colts was a side that we saw some sharp money come in on as well. You know, that Colts line closed pretty low, and the Colts really, I think they scored a touchdown on their first three drives of that game. And then they kind of took their foot off the gas in the second half. But it was a very impressive performance by Indianapolis defensively.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson bailed him out a couple times on some bad throws. But, I mean, we're splitting hairs. Very, very solid. And you would think that the Colts could have scored more if they needed to at the end. They were really just focused on the clock.
Yeah.
And I thought they did a wonderful job. And, I mean, we got to talk about the Dallas ending, right?
The Colts, yeah, we do. But, you know, the Colts really do an excellent job when they have the lead of bleeding the clock. Frank Reich and Andrew Luck have developed such a good rapport with each other. They're in such a great rhythm with their play calling right now. It's very impressive to see.
Absolutely. And so at the nightcap, Cowboys, first of all, the Seahawks play calling was just baffling. Just baffling how they kept just running the ball at this Dallas front, where Russell Wilson was just making play. As a guy who had backed Dallas, I was, like, so scared of Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson is terrifying. I mean, have you ever in your life seen a quarterback on the run that can make more plays with his legs in the open field? Just give Russell Wilson the ball and let him create. That's what he is. He's a creator.
I'd be so furious if I were a Seahawks fan.
Yeah, I didn't like the play calling there. I thought the critical sequence in that game was right before the half. Seattle had a long throw down the sideline where the corner never turned around. It looked like he grabbed his arm. They could have very easily called pass interference there. Would have put the ball at like the 1 yard line. They didn't call it, and Seattle had a punt. And then Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott broke that long run, and then they scored a touchdown back the other way right before halftime. That was a very critical sequence in that game.
And then Janikowski, that's when he got hurt.
Yeah, and then on the subsequent possession, Seattle got into field goal range, and Janikowski got hurt on a 58-yard field goal or something like that.
So I did a hit for SportsCenter Sunday morning, basically the two-point conversion at the end. Basically, it was like about millions and millions of dollars switching hands when you factor the swing. Now, it's very important people listen. I'm not saying it cost the house millions of dollars, but let's say you guys are flat. Let's just say MGM is flat, like $2 million on each side on the game. That's a $4 million swing for the bettors,
sure.
for the human beings, the emotion, the bad beat component to all this. That's the betting public. And when you factor in all the states, eight states, you factor in all the offshore and the bookie money, we're talking tens and tens of millions of dollars.
Oh, for sure. And almost every bet was, other than the money line bets, swung on that play. There were people that had played Dallas at -1.5 and -2. So that they weren't
True.
As well. They were the -2 guys pushed instead of winning, but certainly it was I had +3 for myself. So really, I would have, in theory, pushed on an extra point had it come to that if they had been kicking. But certainly,
but
a
it probably
result.
Wouldn't have come to that because they would have kicked the extra point earlier too.
Right, that's true. Yeah,
a little misleading.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then on the previous possession, Dallas was up by 3, but really they had no. They had no reason to kick a field goal if it had come to that. Going up by 6 wouldn't have really done anything for them because Seattle had to play for a touchdown anyway because they can't kick.
Good point.
So it was a very unique.
Right, but a two-point conversion stop because it's not like they could have kicked the extra point.
Yeah.
Although their punter was okay at kicking. I actually thought there was a chance they were going to kick the chip shot on 4th and 6 because –
Yeah, I mean – they normally would have.
Well,
yeah.
No, normally, obviously, with Janikowski, they definitely would have.
Right.
But yeah. I thought Dixon could have made a chip shot field goal. I think, like, 4th and 11, they kicked the field goal.
That's probably true. But, again, I'm glad that the kicker was hurt, and it showed everybody what we've all known on this program for a long time. Should go for it, man. It's always the way to go. Kicking is for losers.
Just need the reminder there. So awesome, yeah, and to your point, it was an over-under as well decided on the going for the touchdown. So the difference between the 6 and the 3, if they had settled for the 3 because they were down 2 scores at 10, then it would have stayed under the game. So really, really drama surrounding the point spread there, and I imagine sportsbooks were going nuts as well. I think the last game we got to talk about is had the most memorable kick of the weekend, which was the double doink.
Oh, yeah, that was a great game. Those are the kinds of games I enjoy. Like, I didn't really enjoy the Rams-Chiefs Monday night game that everybody thought was so awesome. I'd rather watch a game like that where the yards are hard to come by and there's the ball swinging back and forth, and there were moments where it looked like Philadelphia was going to win, and then it looked like for sure the Bears were going to win, and then the Eagles get that touchdown on fourth down. It seems like they've won the game, and Trubisky makes a great throw down the sideline to Allen Robinson. Should have put the Bears into field goal range. They should have, you know. Trubisky did his job. He got them down the field for what should have been a game-winning field goal. That game was really, I thought, a very exciting ending.
I agree with you in the terms of the drama and how, I did like that Monday night Chiefs-Rams game, and I also like this game. I will say this. There were more bad plays than good plays from the quarterbacks, and that would be the only thing that was not that aesthetically pleasing.
They did, but you're talking about, I agree with you, of course, but you're talking about two very good defenses, cold weather situation at Soldier Field. It wasn't exactly the greatest stage for a quarterback to showcase his talents.
Yeah, I thought Foles was excusable, given that he was facing the Bears D. I thought Trubisky, and this is what I overlooked kind of handicapping the game, just played really tight in the first half. Like, if they play in the regular season, he's looser and he probably plays a lot better. But I just thought he was super tight, got away with a lot of dropped interceptions. He got away with turnovers that Nick Foles did not get away with.
True.
So I'm not saying that the Bears should have won. Like, Trubisky just got lucky that some of those coin flip picks didn't go against him. I was very disappointed with the Bears' offense. I didn't think they fed the ball to Howard enough. I thought they got a little too cute. I thought the two-point conversion was stupid. And I just we saw it, and then we can talk about the national championship game too. Coaches choke as well. Referees choke. It's not just players. And Trubisky played tight, and I think some of the play calling was weak. And there was just some questionable performances on the big stages this weekend.
Well, Matt Nagy needs to answer for only getting the ball to Tariq Cohen four times. I mean, how is that even possible? That guy is such an explosive playmaker. And certainly Nagy made a huge mistake not calling his first timeout after Philadelphia got the first and goal. Now, that cost the Bears about 30 seconds, and that 30 seconds may have been the difference.
May have been.
They had to kick that 43-yard field goal, but if they had another 30 seconds, it would have given them a chance to run a couple more plays, maybe get it closer. 43-yard field goal should have been close enough, but it wasn't.
Yeah, and Parkey probably would have made it if it doesn't get tipped. And
yes.
But then again, like, that's on your team to,
of course,
handle things. It's execution, and it was a great game. It was certainly a dramatic game. All of the games were interesting. Even the Colts-Texans game was kind of interesting. And
I thought it was. Yeah, I thought they were all pretty good. I thought the one thing I will say is I think Baltimore made a mistake by not benching Jackson at halftime. I think that they had to at least try that. Jackson was so overwhelmed in that game. You've got to think that the Chargers were preparing all week for Lamar Jackson. So maybe you go to Flacco. He's a different kind of quarterback. Maybe. I think they still would have lost the game, to be honest with you. But I thought Harbaugh should have made that move at halftime.
My only counter to that is I would have liked to just make the adjustment that Romo was saying during the broadcast in, what, like the first quarter? Talking about going jumbo with tight ends. But even then, so like he was super tight as well. I mean, you had drop balls, the running back fumbled. I mean, it was just, and that offensive line couldn't protect. So it didn't matter if Flacco was in or Lamar Jackson was in. Melvin Ingram was in the backfield every time.
It was a great defensive game plan, Gus Bradley and the Chargers defensive coaching staff. The Chargers just have so many great players on the defensive side of the ball. The Chargers have so much talent everywhere, really. They're a scary team. They've got every chance to win on Sunday in New England.
Well, that's what I was going to talk to you about. In this spot, I believe I'll look it up while we talk about it, but I would love the Patriots in this spot, except the fact that they're just not very good. I mean, they're just not very good. And then
no, they're not.
The Chargers are.
I think if you look at the rosters, the Chargers are way better than the Patriots. Now, the Patriots have Bill Belichick. The Patriots have home field advantage. The Chargers, for the second week in a row, are having to play in that one Eastern time slot, which is ridiculous. There's only one of the four playoff time slots that's at one Eastern, and they put the Chargers on the road in that time slot both weeks. Certainly not doing them any favors. But
I think
just in terms of rosters, I think Chargers are way ahead of the Patriots. Not remotely close in my book. But the Patriots have Bill Belichick.
And he is 6-1 against the spread in the last 7 years he's been in the divisional round.
I think if I was a Patriots fan or a Patriots coach, I would have really been pulling for the Houston Texans on Saturday.
Oh, God.
Because after the Colts won, they were either going to have to play Baltimore or the Chargers. Both are good teams. And I think would have given New England a a much stiffer test than what Houston would have given them.
Well, that's the irony is basically if the Patriots had done what the Chargers did with their defense, everyone would be raving about Bill Belichick's genius because we saw that similarly back in the Giants-Bills day against the Kelly Gunn offense and mm-hmm. then just the creativity that the greatest show on turf as well with the Patriots, the 2001-2002 Patriots against the Rams. And just be thinking outside the box, and they played all those DBs in the linebacker position. I mean, that's basically what the Chargers did. They pulled a Belichick.
They did, and as much as I always praise John Harbaugh, I'm a fan of both of the Harbaughs, even though Jim didn't look too good in his last outing. But I'm a fan of John Harbaugh's, and the bottom line is he got outcoached. His staff got outcoached by the Chargers staff on Sunday. Period.
Yeah, props to Gus Bradley. So Harbaugh was 11-4 against the spread in his career in the postseason, now 11-5. And too bad. It was fun to watch. I just wanted a more competitive game. I just thought the Chargers seemed like a JV unit from the start.
The Ravens seemed like a JV
excuse
unit?
Excuse me, the Ravens.
Yeah. The Ravens offense just had no answer for the Chargers.
They didn't hold on the ball.
You know, that's why I was so critical of their first field goal attempt. It was 12-0. On the Ravens' first field goal attempt, and I was sitting there watching that game thinking, man, these guys might never get down here again. What does making it 12-3 do for you? And they made that field goal, and then they kicked another field goal, a 50-yard field goal. And listen, I know Justin Tucker is as automatic as any kicker in the history of the NFL, but it's no guarantee he's going to make that kick. He missed that kick. I don't know what John Harbaugh
is doing.
I had
a bigger issue with the first one. The first one is you got to respond off the turnover. You make it 12-7, all of a sudden the Chargers might lay an egg. Like they could feel the pressure.
I agree with you. I had more of an issue with the first one. I know that the Ravens ended up scoring touchdowns later in the game when the game was more out of hand. But I just remembered thinking right then, man, these guys might never get inside the 20-yard line again. I cannot believe they're kicking a field goal here. The Chargers want you to kick a field goal there. I had bet on the Chargers. You guys know how much I like the Chargers on Sunday. And I was very happy to see the Ravens field goal unit come out on the field there down 12-0. What does that tell you?
Pathetic. It was a pathetic decision. I was really flabbergasted. But then the Ravens almost got a gift with that scoop and score from their own end zone. Wild scene there. And I had tweeted about this. Some people disagreed. Basically, my point was if they ruled a fumble on the field and then the scoop and score, I don't think they'd overturn it.
Yeah, you could be right about that. I actually thought that the previous play was clearly a touchdown.
Oh, yes.
I think it was Derek Watt, I believe.
Yeah, the white fullback.
I couldn't believe that they didn't rule it a touchdown on the field, or they did and they overturned it. Either way, I mean, that was clearly a touchdown. So I don't know. The refs, it kind of got away from the refs there in that sequence. And then the Chargers, I believe, finally scored what was basically their third touchdown of that drive. Melvin Gordon plunged in there from a yard out. There was also, in the Chicago game, there was another sequence where they ruled it an incomplete pass. Remember the ref picked the ball up?
Oh, my God, at the end of the first half. That's the other component of the bad beat is they had to settle for a field goal, but if the guy just holds on to the ball, it's first and goal, or if someone just walked. You know what's funny also about that, Murray, is that the ball landed – at virtually the same exact spot as Parkey's double doink field goal.
Really? No, I didn't know
resting
that.
Resting on the field, like that's outside the end zone, awesome. Like the 2-3-4 yard line, whatever it was.
Well, you got to remember it's the postseason for the referees too, guys. This is their stage too, and they got to get out there and make a name for themselves as well. That was certainly there was some questionable stuff from the officials in both of the games on Sunday, in my opinion.
How about the rules expert not even knowing the rule?
Well, how much do you think they're paying that guy to just sit up there? I mean, if you guys need somebody to just sit up there in the booth and criticize the officiating, give me a call.
You got spare time?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be great at that job.
So, 4-0 again for the Dogs in the wild card weekend. Last year was 4-0 as well. The previous year was 4-0 favorites. But dating back to last postseason, we talked about on the podcast a week ago, 10-1. Were underdogs against the spread, 4-0. So you're looking at 14-1 the last 2 years.
I think it's important to realize, though, that these dogs were such small underdogs. These teams were barely underdogs. It's not like the kind of results the book gets when, let's say, the Kansas City Chiefs lost to the Tennessee Titans in the first wild card game last year as like a touchdown dog. That was a huge win for us.
Right.
And the wins this season are much smaller when you've got a 1.5 point underdog winning or a 2.5 point underdog winning. It's not the same thing.
So let's look ahead to this weekend. We're going to get into the bonanza momentarily, but you mentioned the ticket count with the Colts and Chiefs. What about the Rams? What are we looking at for America's team here catching a full seven?
It's pretty split on the point spread. Most of the money on the money line is on Dallas, but again, that's nothing really to be – it's nothing too alarming. We did take a $20,000 bet on the Cowboys at plus 280.
Ooh.
That bet was made yesterday from a regular player, a guy that loves to bet underdogs with us here. I kind of like the Rams here, guys. I don't know that Dallas has the horses to go out there and win in Los Angeles. This should be a really high-handle game, though. Just these two teams, the L.A. market, obviously the Cowboys are the Cowboys, that primetime Saturday game should be a huge ratings game for the NFL, huge handle game for sportsbooks all over the country.
Who do you think will have more fans in that game?
Oh, Dallas will, I think. Don't you agree?
I do.
I think Chicago, had they won, would have even more fans than Dallas is going to have. I think the Coliseum would have been flooded with Chicago Bears fans. Well, the Bears have waited so long for this season, or for a playoff caliber team.
I don't know about. I kind of like Dallas there. So the Rams' Achilles' heel is you can run on them. So Dallas, I just trust their rushing attack and their defense to slow down a Rams team that I think has not been the same without Kupp.
Yeah, the Rams haven't been the same without Kupp. I'm not going to get involved in that game. I'm going to play the other Saturday game. We can get into that later. But I know that these divisional games, it usually ends up being the square side is the dog more often than not. That just has always been the case going way back to when I first got into the business. Although I should mention again, we're pretty split here on this game in terms of the point spread.
And then we go to Sunday. Chargers, I mean, that's just such a brutal time. You know, and the flight back and forth. Let's not dismiss that as well.
Yeah. You have four playoff slots to choose from, and the Chargers end up in the 10 a.m. West Coast game both times. The NFL is not doing the Chargers any favors here, guys.
Well, the Rams, not going to be that slot, right? So they're, 'cause they're at home. So it's either Rams only have three options.
True.
And, yeah. I
think it's more notable because they did it to them both weekends. I mean, I understand that this kind of thing might happen, but it happened both weekends. Doesn't really seem fair.
Let's just send them to London.
Send them to London? Sure. the Chargers are better off. They're better off on the road anyway.
I know. What are they, undefeated when they've got on a plane?
I think they're not. Yeah, I think they are. The Chargers are very impressive away from home.
And yeah, the only road game they lost was when they played the Chargers. Is that what it is? No, when they played the Rams, excuse me.
Yeah, the Rams. I think they're very live here, man. I don't really trust this team enough to play them on the road against New England, but, I mean, you guys know how I feel about the Chargers, and just look at the players they have defensively. Bose is a stud. Engram is a stud. Derwin James is a stud. They got guys all over that defense that are elite-level players.
Yeah, no, it's I would need more points for that to go against Belichick just because I'm so afraid of him. But they're the better team. I don't even know where they're better. Yeah. Like, I guess Brady's better than Rivers, but
I don't know if I,
given
what
this,
I've seen this year, I don't think
his
so.
His career is certainly better. I'm just saying, like, I guess now, but obviously, I don't even know. I would say a tight end. I think Gronk is less of a corpse than Gates.
Yeah, well, that's well put. No, but look at the receivers. I mean, the Chargers with Keenan Allen and Williams. And is it possible they get Hunter Henry back this week? I think that Melvin Gordon is better than any running back on New England's roster. I think that
we're
Rivers
a week away,
better.
By the way, of Hunter Henry facing the Chiefs.
Stephen A. can just rebroadcast the same comments about that. Just run the same interview again. The Chargers, I just think, are better than the Patriots everywhere.
Except to the head coach.
Oh, except
the
head coach.
That's the matchup everywhere, right?
Patriots have Belichick. Belichick's had time to scheme for this game. The Patriots are going to be at home, which I think is an advantage. We talked about how good the Chargers are on the road, but how many times have the Patriots lost a home playoff game in the Belichick-Brady era? I know it's happened a couple times, but they obviously have a phenomenal record.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, no, it's just, I'm just gun shy going against him. I have a feeling that Philly will be the square dog as well.
Well, they have been so far. We've certainly taken quite a few more bets on the Eagles, about 3-1 on Philadelphia. They're +8 right now on the road against New Orleans. And this is just people forget how good New Orleans is because they were off last week. And then the week before that, they rested all their starters. They lost to Carolina in that Week 17 game. And everybody just watched the Eagles with the great win on the road in Chicago. The first time these two teams played, Philadelphia was down to basically nothing in the secondary, and New Orleans just lit them up. Philadelphia is a very different team defensively now than they were in that first matchup.
So they're healthier now?
Yeah, they're healthier, and Nick Foles, I guess, is playing well. I mean, I feel like I watch him, and I don't think he looks that impressive, but he always seems to get the win, so I have to give him some credit at some point. I mean, he made the throws on that final touchdown drive, including on that fourth down throw to Golden Tate.
Yeah, I've been just going on record saying he stinks for a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
I will say
this. I don't think much of him either.
One of our analysts, and I actually forgot who it was. I think it was our air. Basically said it comes down to this. Like, Wentz just tries to be too perfect all the time, and Foles will take what the defense gives him, and he plays more within himself, and then he spreads the ball around. So if you have a system that's, like, really easy reads, like the Eagles, in terms of, like, just being basic, I don't know if the scheme is basic, but if you just play sort of like a simpleton approach, that it can be really easy, make it look good, whereas Wentz is kind of often trying to make the big play.
Carson Wentz has had one of the strangest careers in NFL history. This is a second overall pick, a guy that I think everybody agrees has the chance to be an elite quarterback in this league, but so far since the Eagles drafted him, they're 4-0 in playoff games, and he hasn't played a single one of them. Well, I mean, have we ever seen anything like that before?
I'll even take it up a notch, like coming from North Dakota State, right? So there was apprehension doing the FCS component to this.
Sure.
Then
it's a very unique career.
Right. And then he becomes like an MVP candidate, was the favorite, I believe, in December before he goes down. I will say this, you know, since he hurt his knee in December, we're not going to know like the true Wentz or whatever until next year. So I think let's pump
so too.
A little bit on that.
But at the same time, if Nick Foles wins another game or two in this season's playoffs, how can anyone say that they shouldn't go with Nick Foles as their quarterback? I mean, they're clearly good enough to win literally a Super Bowl or win a road playoff game this past week in Chicago. That was the one thing Foles didn't do last season. He didn't have to. He didn't win a road playoff game, but he's done that now against a good Chicago team. I mean, clearly they're good enough to win big games with Nick Foles as their QB.
I will say this. This is their fifth road game in the last 6 weeks. I mean, at some point, you just can't do it anymore, right?
I agree with you. And I certainly think the Eagles would be better off long-term sticking with Carson Wentz, believe me when I say that. But Philadelphia at some point has to run out of gas. They were fortunate to win the Chicago game. And I have to think that their Cinderella story is going to end on Sunday here.
Yeah, this might be this goes back to teams playing tight and stuff. Even last year, the Saints barely got by Carolina. And I think this Philly team's not as good in some ways, but in ways they're better. And teams play tight, man. We don't see a lot of blowouts in the postseason anymore. Look at the Colts. They got tight. Came down.
They got very tight.
You know, Watson makes a play or two. We're in a one-score game very easily.
Philadelphia is playing with house money, guys. Like, no, everybody wrote them off. They snuck into the playoffs. Remember that they had that game at the Rams on Sunday Night Football, where if they lost that game, they would have essentially been eliminated from the playoffs. They won that game as nearly a 2-touchdown underdog. Then they get into the playoffs because the Bears beat the Vikings for them, and then they win on the road in Chicago in the first round. You know, I said last week I thought the Bears made a big mistake letting the Eagles into the playoffs, and I stand by that comment. I think they would have had a much easier time against Kirk Cousins and those Vikings.
Do you? Do you really think
that? I do, yes. I do. I think so.
I mean, the Vikings are better on paper.
I don't think much of Cousins is what it really comes down to.
You think much of Foles?
I think more of this Philadelphia team right now than the Vikings, yeah.
See, I think Foles is better under pressure, but I think the Vikings are pretty loaded on paper, at least.
I don't know. From what I saw, and I said this before the wild card game.
No, I know.
I would have much rather played Minnesota than Philadelphia. Absolutely.
Yeah. Bears fans, I mean, there's this one video going around of a guy just screaming about Parkey.
it's a tough one for the Bears, because I know they're all going to comfort themselves by saying, oh, we've got this really good young roster, and they do. But Minnesota's got a good roster, too. Green Bay's got a franchise quarterback still there. I mean, look at Indianapolis. Look how quickly you can turn it around if you've already got a franchise QB in place. There's no guarantee the Bears are going to be back in the playoffs next year, especially with a home playoff game against a Philadelphia team that kind of snuck into the postseason.
I'd be so furious if I were a Bears fan.
And to take it a step further, I like Trubisky. I think he's a little bit underrated by a lot of people out there, but he's not an elite quarterback.
No.
You know, when you don't have an elite quarterback, there's really no guarantee that you're going to make the playoffs every season. It's a tough loss for the Bears fans. All I can do is shake my head on that one.
Yeah, that one's going to sting a while. At least it wasn't like a one seed. That's the only thing that'll soften the blow.
No, but a three seed is not easy to get. I mean, like I said, that division's pretty competitive, man. No guarantees they're going to get back there next year.
Let's get into the bonanza momentarily, but quick recap of the national championship game. Kai, as we talked about in the open, you big Clemson fan on Tuesday.
Yeah, I don't know. Something came over me Monday night into Tuesday morning, and I just looked in my closet and said, you know what? I'm going to wear this Clemson hat today. Can't think of what it was, though.
He was just a heel.
You're happy that
he was a heel.
You're just happy. You're happy they won it all. Did you, Kai, take my advice and back Clemson? I love Clemson in that game.
Oh man, Murray, I was telling Doug the faces that I got from wearing my Clemson hat yesterday, either hate, like deep hate, or just overjoyed. It was awesome.
Does anybody feel bad for Alabama fans? I mean, what, now they've only won 5 national championships in the last decade? I mean, give me a break.
Murray, why did you love Clemson so much in this game?
I just thought the number was way too high. I said it all along. I thought that those teams were very, very close. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I thought Clemson was going to rout Alabama on Monday night. Of course I didn't think that was going to happen. But I thought those two teams were basically dead even, and I thought Alabama should have just been a small favorite in that game. I thought that was a bad number. I thought 6.5 was a bad line.
It certainly turned out to be the case. I said this in the open. I wanted to talk about it with you. I don't think the final score and overall macro takeaway of it being a rout is actually accurate. I think it was a lot closer than people realize.
I agree with you. And obviously Clemson gets a pick 6 on the first drive of the game. That changes everything. That game was not a, what was the final score? They won 44-16, is that right? I mean, it was not a 4-touchdown level blowout, but I would still argue forever that Alabama should have never been favored by that much.
Oh, correct.
And I
if
think
they
the
were
game,
to play again, if they were to play next week, what would you make the line?
I think Alabama would be short of a 3-point favorite. I think Alabama would be maybe, let's call it pick 'em.
Maybe that a pick.
I mean, who could really argue with that at this point?
I wouldn't. I think
this game, these two teams are very close. If they played again next week, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Alabama won, not even a little bit. But you can't tell me that Alabama should have never been nearly a touchdown favorite in that matchup. Clemson's players are just as good as Alabama's players at this point.
Yeah, I mean, and Alabama's defense, we talked about it all year, was not quite the same defense as we've seen in years past.
Has anybody ever... Awesome, What if I told you 2 months ago that Tua Tagovailoa wasn't going to win the Heisman, wasn't going to win the national championship, and wouldn't even be considered the top quarterback prospect for the NFL in college football? I don't think anybody would have ever believed that. He's had quite a fall.
Or the Heisman Trophy betting favorite next year.
Yeah.
Bovada has it out. Trevor Lawrence is the favorite ahead of him.
I think at this point it has to be Trevor Lawrence. I don't know how you could – and Trevor Lawrence – would be the first overall pick in the draft, I think, any of the next 3 seasons if he was eligible for the draft. Clemson will be losing a lot of key players on their defense, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Alabama's going to reload with some top players. I think that's – Alabama was very young this season. They really are more built for next year than this year.
Yes, certainly true. And just to put a bow on what I was saying is Alabama moved the ball a ton and then had some bad short yardage situations. False start on the goal line, not converting. The fake field goal I will never, ever, ever understand.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Even before that, I think there was a 3rd down. Can't remember if it was the field goal or another time. There was a defensive holding that wasn't called, and then they got stuffed on 4th down. And there was a PI that I thought wasn't called, but at least it was more of a coin flip judgment by the ref, but I thought the holding was. But either way, I will say this. All that being said, Clemson could have named the score on offense, took its foot off the gas. So while I think Alabama would have scored, taken the lead instead of getting stuffed, and instead of the field goal and scored more points, I still think Clemson could have easily kept going with on offense. So the right team won. I just don't think it was as lopsided as we all think. We want to just remember it as a blowout one way.
It was one of those games where I think the two teams were very even, and Clemson just had everything go its way.
Yeah.
Every third and fourth down went its way.
God. Third down.
The pick six obviously was a huge moment in the game right at the start. Everything that could have gone Clemson's way did. So while I certainly don't think that there's not much separating those two schools right now, and there probably won't be much separating those two schools next year.
Venables, give him credit. I mean, this is what we talked about in October. I said, look, Tua's awesome, but I think if you take a few quarterbacks in the country, like three or four, and put them in, they'd be just as dominant because I think he forces the ball too much. Danielson said it on a broadcast once that he makes up his mind where he's going with the ball before the snap, and you can fool him, and that's what was done on the pick six, and that's what Venables did a couple times. They showed one thing and then changed during the middle of the play. And when he's a young quarterback, that's going to happen.
Clemson is so well coached, and you can see how much the players love Dabo Swinney. I mean, they looks like they'll just run through a wall for that guy. So the culture he's created there. You know, I'm one of those guys, I always criticize teams that just promote the interim coach because I think it's done just to kind of appease the players, and I think it's a bad idea in general. And Clay Helton is somebody that falls under that umbrella, but that's exactly what Clemson did with Dabo, so that worked out pretty well, let's just say that.
How do you feel about, speaking of Clay Helton, losing Kingsbury to the NFL?
I think it's a strange hire by Arizona, frankly. I like Kingsbury. I think he's a good play caller, but it doesn't take much to run in a high-powered offense in the Big 12. I mean, have we really seen enough from Kingsbury to think he's ready to be an NFL head coach at this point? Isn't he the guy that chose Davis Webb over Baker Mayfield a few years ago? And then he had an all-pro-level NFL quarterback in Patrick Mahomes for 2 years there in Lubbock, and it's not like they won anything while Mahomes was there. They never went to any major bowl games. I mean, you always say this, DK, about at some point the results do matter, and you have to prove it on the field. I haven't seen anything from Kingsbury that leads me to believe he's an NFL head coach at this point.
One thing I've also said, and I tweeted it today, that using the win-loss record, and you did not, I'm just saying in general, the people using his Texas Tech win-loss record is kind of like oversimplifying the conversation. I mean, look at, you and I both think, McDermott did a great job with the Bills, and they had 6 wins.
Oh, yeah.
I think David Cutcliffe at the college level has done a fantastic job with his talent level at Duke, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Right. Yeah. So I think just saying, like, he went X and Y at Texas Tech doesn't really sit. Now, if there's some offensive efficiency numbers, to your point, we were saying that he chose Davis Webb over Mayfield, and he didn't do a ton with Mahomes. Now we're talking about real, I think, talking points. I think those are fair. I just think bringing up generic win-loss records when at Texas Tech, there's only so much you can do to compete against Oklahoma and Texas. I just do.
I agree with that.
I think, and so much of the job is recruiting, and maybe he's not the best recruiter. I don't know. I just think it's going to be very interesting. And can you imagine the roller coaster of a month he has had getting fired at Texas Tech, resurfacing it, seeing as an OC in LA, and, you know, given his Hollywood looks, it's going to be, oh boy, what's going to happen out there? And then getting that head coach job. In the NFL. Yeah.
That's
it's
what I'm
amazing,
saying, guys.
And
I think you guys are overthinking. I'm sorry, Murray. He's just cool, man. He got the job because he's cool. Let's not overthink
cool
it. He's a cool dude.
I'm just looking, and I agree with you, DK, about oversimplifying with the record. But look at 2016. Quarterback was Patrick Mahomes, and they went 5-7. And I know you're right. There's only so much you can do at Texas Tech. I agree with you. But at some point, in order for you to quote-unquote deserve an NFL job, don't you have to show something at the college level?
Right.
He may work out. He may very well work out because he is a good offensive mind, and we all know the NFL is all shifting to these offensive-minded head coaches, young head coaches, playmakers that make interesting play calls like what the Browns were doing with Freddie Kitchens. But I feel like this one's kind of a reach.
Totally.
How about I put it like that?
I feel like it's a reach.
They're trying.
That's well said.
They're trying too hard to identify the next Sean McVay, quote unquote. And I think they reached with this hire, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who else was there for them. I certainly would avoid the retreads. I don't want to name names because I don't know who might work here, who may have worked here, you know, all that. Like, I would avoid the retreads. I just think there's such better options out there, and we're seeing it, than just kind of like rehiring some dude who happens to have some head coaching experience.
I completely agree with that. And you look at the two teams that really nailed their coaching hires the most this year were the Bears and the Colts. They both hired offensive coordinators in the NFL, and those guys are both doing a terrific job. And Kingsbury may do a good job.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's just no evidence of it here. I haven't seen anything from him so far that leads me to believe he's an NFL head coach. Maybe he is.
I love the Freddie Kitchens hire, too. I thought the offense of Cleveland got so creative and clever, and I just feel like it sounds like, looks like, sure, like Mayfield seems comfortable, and why rock the boat?
I like that hire, too. And if you're the Cleveland Browns, you finally have a franchise quarterback. You need to build everything around Baker Mayfield. Clearly, he and Kitchens are on the same page. I like that hire. I was terrified when I read that it might be Mike McCarthy going to the Browns.
He only wants the Jets. He only wants the Jets.
That would have been a disastrous hire for Cleveland.
Well, we got Sam Darnold, another rookie QB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Jets need to find the right guy to pair with Sam Darnold. That should be their only mission right now. I don't think it's Mike McCarthy.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, congratulations, Mr. Director. I think we're throwing the towel like Rocky IV.
Throwing the towel in?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Great.
I owe Makai enough money.
Yeah, well, Kai, you know I want to be there at Makai's Harvard graduation.
Oh, yeah.
If I don't get that invite, man, I'm going to be very disappointed in you, man.
I think there was someone asking me on Twitter or one of my buddies. It's not like 10 grand I owe the college fund or whatever. It's like we could be using marbles. We could be using marbles as the increments. It's the rebuys of needing more money in the Bonanza Challenge. So it was just about how competitive does DK want to get. And I think there's some sportsmanship. I mean, I could just pull, you know, all right, let's do 100 grand. Let's do 200. Yeah, at some point I'm going to win a bet.
Yeah. And well, I would think, yeah. That would have sort of defeated the purpose of a bankroll challenge. If you just say, well, you know what, in the Super Bowl – let me get the Saints for $1 million.
Let's go first quarter Saints.
Yeah, and then, that would kind of defeat.
We'll do the coin flip heads, and then we'll wait.
Yeah.
And then I could do, but then I would just owe a boatload of money per 10K rebuy, which I already do. So
we don't take $1 million on the coin toss here. So.
Well, you know, you have a lot of outs, and you can run around.
I got $1 million on tails. I'm a little nervous right now.
What juice do you guys offer on the coin flip?
-102 both
ways.
That's
nice.
On the coin flip, yeah.
Why not 101?
You know, we used to do 101. Maybe we can go back to that this year.
Interesting. We will still be doing picks, but I'm well prepared to concede year one.
I feel bad for my guy, the Prince. He had two plays on Saturday that probably both should have got there. Neither of them did. He had the, I think it was over 23.5 points from the Colts. And if I remember correctly, the Colts scored a touchdown on their first three drives. And then they never scored again. That's a tough one. And then he had Russell Wilson under passing yards. Russell went over on that final drive.
Well, and I would argue that the last one should have gone over by third quarter if the coaches had their heads out of that. You know.
That's fair, but certainly the Colts team total, I think his heart was in the right place on that one.
Certainly, that's a bad beat, no doubt.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Well, I got greedy. I think it was around week 15 or so I pressed. I think it was the Jags-Redskins did me in. Halftime, I did not get out of my bet. Could have had a middle.
Yeah.
And it's been a tough stretch here. So, clean
slate. Still give our opinions on the games.
I'm more than willing to give my opinions. Where your first one off the tee box, my man? Where are you looking here?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think you guys can tell that I'm leaning in that direction. It makes me a little nervous because it is Andy Reid standing over there. I picture Andy Reid like all bundled up on the sidelines, just freezing cold, and it just makes me nervous picturing that. But I think Kansas City -5.5 here is the play. The Colts just looks way too easy. Everybody's taking a bait there. And all these Kansas City playoff chokes that they've had over the last 20, 25 years, if you're a Chiefs fan out there, remember they never had Patrick Mahomes for any of those games. I think Mahomes is an elite-type player.
It was really strange with the Chiefs game against the Chargers on that Thursday night late in the regular season, because a few drives, the Chiefs just marched down and scored and looked perfect on offense. And then the other drives were three and outs. So yeah. Stark contrasts within the same game.
Yeah, and maybe they were holding something back for the playoffs. Or maybe the Chargers' defense is just that good.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. But, I just don't know
I mean,
do you trust Kansas City's defense right now?
I trust Kansas City to win what will probably be a shootout here. I like Kansas City here. The Colts have had a very good season, but I think that their road ends on Saturday.
How does a teaser involving New Orleans not win?
Well, you got to tease it to something else. There's your answer.
Yeah, that's my concern. I'm looking at Chargers. I'm looking at a Sunday teaser.
It's hard. It's hard for me to believe Philadelphia could win that game, dude. Like, I can't. This would be just an epic choke by the New Orleans Saints to not win that game.
What's happened to the Saints lately, though? I mean, starting with that Thursday night game in Dallas. I mean, I'm okay with the Carolina Monday night game. You got the kitchen sink from the Panthers, and it was their third straight road game. I'm okay with that. It was a wonky game, like the tight end drop. It was just a weird game. Then they barely get by the Steelers, and then they lose with Bridgewater. Who cares in Week 17?
They were lucky to win that Steelers game, by the way. But the only thing I can think of is I don't think Drew Brees is 100% right now.
And that's how they don't cover. I mean, I asked you, how do they not cover a teaser? And that's how it is. He's not. And the back end of that defense is not all world.
No, it's not. And the Eagles they're playing with a lot of confidence right now. And we talked about it earlier. They're playing with house money right now. But I just think New Orleans is so much better than the Philadelphia. They have no excuse, but they should win this game easily.
All right, so I'm going to go with Cowboys +7 as my play. I don't love it. I just think that's the Achilles heel of the Rams. And the Rams have not looked that great the last month or so of the season, except for Week 17 when they killed the Niners. But, something a little off with this team, and I think you can run on them. And I don't.
Does it concern you at all? I'm sorry to interrupt, but I mean, you're definitely right about running the ball against the Rams, but do you trust Jason Garrett to stick to the run if they fall behind early?
No, and I made the analogy that Dak Prescott is that hot crap shooter who, yeah. I mean, you just know he's going to crap. Like, 7's coming up soon, right? You just know it is. And the question is when. Like, he's got the whole table going nuts. It's Saturday night. Everyone's feeling themselves. Great vibe. He's hot shooting. And he just knows 7's coming, though. So the question is, when is it going to come?
Yeah, I think it might be coming on Saturday. But, I don't really trust the Rams. And
yeah.
I don't, like we talked about earlier, they don't really have a home field advantage in this game. I don't. It's not as if the Coliseum is going to be rocking with Rams fans on Saturday night. This is essentially a neutral field game.
Yeah, and I just think, look, going back to that pick in the end zone, KJ Wright, like that throw was behind him.
Yeah.
That was a bad throw. You throw that towards the pylon, it's an easy touchdown. And that's what concerns me about Prescott, but I'm also getting 7.
It's a lot of points. Look at how about the quarterback matchups in the AFC games this week versus the NFC games? Hey, really, 4 elite quarterbacks going in the AFC.
Oh, I mean,
it's good stuff.
This weekend's awesome. Truly, truly yeah. Awesome. I mean, what's the worst game here? Dallas Rams?
Philadelphia, New Orleans. I would say probably that one.
But right, but you have the defending champs.
That's a pretty good game.
With the backup QB, a little bit of a underdog story there, and I don't know.
Well, we talked about it last week, but the bottom line is the AFC playoffs are just so much better this year than they were last year, and that's why you're getting these much better matchups. I mean, Chargers-Ravens, that's a good game. That was in the first round.
Yeah.
The AFC is so much deeper this season than it was last year when you had Buffalo and Tennessee getting to the second round and Jacksonville getting to the conference championship game. You can't compare the 2 years. This is a much different AFC.
All right, so just put a bow on it. Handle, what's your biggest handle of the game, you think, or the weekend?
Well, it'll be the Philadelphia game because that's what always happens in these playoff weekends. You go to that last game on Sunday afternoon, and you've got all the parlay and teaser liability from the first 3 games all going to that last one. So it'll certainly be Eagles-Saints. Dallas-LA will be a huge handle game too, though. That primetime spot with the Cowboys going, that'll be a very big handle game.
Any line movement between now and the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I won't be surprised a little bit to see the Eagle line come down a little, maybe to 7.5. And I really won't be surprised if the Chargers line comes down. You know how much the Sharps love to bet those Chargers on the road, man. We've talked about that for years. I wouldn't be surprised at all if you see 3.5 by Sunday.
And Sharps haven't weighed in yet?
Nothing yet. I mean, we're taping this Wednesday afternoon here in Las Vegas. There's nothing that I find too noteworthy, but I will certainly send out the bat signal to you on Saturday morning if I feel that it's necessary.
Yeah, Alfred, I need the bat signal, so you let me know.
I think that the first game Saturday is trending in that direction.
Even though favorites are 1-14 against the spread the last two postseasons.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
It's scary, but I think Kansas City's the right side there, and I think I have to make my pick now, but I wouldn't be surprised to see that number come down a little bit, and then I might decide to get myself involved if the Kansas City line goes down.
Yeah, for me, it's just the Cowboys plus the 7, just a standard play. You know, you got to have a little skin in the game. If I lose, I lose. But I think the Rams are going to – I think Goff's going to play pretty tight, man.
Well, we saw it with Trubisky on Sunday, for sure. And
we saw it last year with the Goff.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, that whole Rams team really played tight in that loss to Atlanta. And that was a game – that was the Saturday night wild card game a year ago, and we saw a ton of sharp money come in on the Falcons in that game. And it was the right side, for sure.
And this Cowboys defense is awesome.
They got a lot of players on Dallas. So we've talked about this many times. Dallas, the people that are running their draft room, are doing an outstanding job of replenishing that roster every year.
Wonderful work, Jerry Jones. Wonderful work.
So, you know what? Even if it's not Jerry Jones, Jerry Jones hired him and has the sense to get out of his way.
That's true.
And really, that's what an owner needs to do. That's the Redskins' problem, is that they're not willing to do that. So even if you don't think it's Jerry Jones, you still have to give him credit for hiring that guy. I think his name's Willie McClay, and letting him do his job because he's doing a fantastic job.
Well, good. You're doing a good job as well, and fantastic work with the Clemson Tigers.
Pay that man his money.
You nailed that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Well done on that one. Because you talked about it on the pod last week. You said, I don't like a lot of games, and I'm liking, what, 3 of the 5 games this weekend?
I really like the Chargers. I think I said I thought the Chargers should have been like a 1.5 or 2-point favorite. That number made no sense. But I liked Clemson more than anything. Clemson was the game I loved this last week.
Yeah, Nick Saban. Any thoughts on the fake field goal? I never really got your reaction there.
I bet on Clemson, so I liked it.
I still don't understand it.
I don't understand it, and I don't know. I mean, did Nick Saban and his team and his staff just get totally outcoached by Dabo and his staff? I would have to say yes. Actually, I think they did.
I guess they forgot that Tua was allowed to throw on fourth down because they had to go for the power run with the lead block kicker.
You're doing the other team a favor by doing that, and you're taking the ball out of Tua's hands. We talked about it last week, or last season, I should say. I thought Lincoln Riley did Georgia a huge favor by taking the ball out of Baker Mayfield's hands on some fourth downs. That's what Georgia wanted them to do. And if you're Clemson, you definitely want to see the ball out of Tua's hands on fourth down, right?
I would think so. And
I would.
On top of that, you talked about saying, hey, what about a month ago if I told you Tua did not win the Heisman, Bama did not win it, he's not the top pro prospect, he's not the Heisman betting favorite. And Alabama is not the favorite for next year's championship.
No, I don't think that they can be. I mean, you've got to consider the path back to the postseason. Clemson in the ACC, it's really hard to imagine them not getting back to the playoff. I think Alabama will make pretty easy work of the SEC, but as we sit here today on January 9th, you can't tell me that Clemson isn't more likely to be in the playoff than Alabama is just because of the conferences they play in.
And those might remember that last year's, the alternate years, so Bama has to do the Iron Bowl on the road, and do they play Georgia? No, they don't play Georgia.
I don't think so.
Possibly in the SEC title game, right. But they have to go at Auburn. Auburn plays both Bama and Georgia, basically back-to-back games. They might have the cupcake in between, but he got them the same year, home and away. So,
well, just look at the conference championship round. I mean, we talked about it a lot this year, but Clemson is probably going to be like a 3 to 4 touchdown favorite in that game. And Alabama will have their hands full with, let's say it's Georgia. They do not play Georgia in the regular season, but they play at Auburn. They play at Texas A&M. They play at Mississippi State. They play LSU at home. I think Clemson plays at Texas A&M too. Should be a fun schedule for Jimbo Fisher next season.
No doubt. All right, bud. Good stuff, as always. Appreciate it. And enjoy CES out there.
Yeah, pretty busy time here. And then we got the playoffs looming this weekend. And we're working on this, 2020 Super Bowl odds.
Mm.
I'm sure we can get into that as soon as we put those up.
Well, let me know. And you might have to tell me in person. I might be headed out there pretty soon. Oh,
hopefully.
Little tease. Little tease.
Hopefully, man.
All right,
I look forward to it.
Take care.
All right, guys. Take care.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
Kai, how do you feel about that? If they played a week from next week, Clemson and Alabama would be a pick 'em.
Yeah, I believe that.
That makes sense, right?
I mean, they're pretty evenly matched, even though we saw a shocking result on Monday.
What would you have to put your money on it, Mr. Rutgers? Money line? You can't do Rutgers money line on this one.
You know what? Even though everything that we just said, I think I'd still rock out with Clemson.
Yeah? Yeah. Well, then there's the Nick Saban adjustments thing and...
Tricky Nicky.
It's a good conversation. It's a good conversation. All right, bud. That's all I got. What about you?
Go Chargers, go.
That's it, man.
Well done. Pulled the Chris Berman on us. I don't know, man. I'm a Raider fan. I can't root for the Chargers, but I certainly respect what they're doing. They are loaded, and this is not like Charger teams of yesteryear.
Yeah. Who would have think all you have to do is leave a city? Maybe that is a foreshadow for you guys next year.
It didn't work for the Raiders the first time, you know, going to Oakland. But
hey, man.
Actually, they did get to the Super Bowl, I believe, in 02-ish, 03-ish, 04-ish. Yeah, that's when it was, 02, 03-ish, losing to Tampa, the Barrett-Robbins game. All right, bud, we're back for more next week, and thanks to everyone for downloading. Don't forget, subscribe, rate, review, and you know, really appreciate everyone's loyalty and excitement throughout the playoffs. We're having a lot of fun with Mr. Director and these games and the antics of these kickers and the coaches. It's just, I see you get involved, Kai, on Twitter as well.
Yeah, man. Hopefully the Prince of Props comes back through this weekend, too. That was tough, man. I had my tweet ready to go, drafted. Good thing I didn't send it out because I would have looked really dumb.
What was it?
Prince comes through again with an emoji, but...
No dice. The man has his own money! All right, bud. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Bets. You can listen and subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts.